Doing all in the name of the Lord simply means by his authority. And his authority is, of course, established in this book I have before you, known as the Word of God. And it's good to have you present for this Lord's Day morning service. Notice when Gene made the announcement, we have a very long list of people who are incapacitated or sick at this time, and we want to continue to remember them in our prayers. And, of course, as he said, I solicit also your prayers in the surgery, which will come up for me on Wednesday. I have been discussing with you for some time simple lessons from the Bible. We call them first principles, where people were converted. I want to talk to you for a little while about Felix the Governor. Felix the Governor was a man in the Bible who was not converted, although he had a chance. Most of the time when we study cases of conversion, we study about people who heard the gospel and obeyed. And that's good. But we also need to study about people who heard and didn't obey, because we can learn a great deal from that. And we want to talk a little while about Felix. This whole scenario starts back in Acts 22. Paul had an opportunity in Acts 22 to stand up before a large group of Jewish people and preach a sermon, which he did, and I'll not reiterate all the sermon, but actually it was a resume of his life. He told about his birth in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. He told how that he was brought up at the feet of Dr. Gamaliel and his schooling, and how that he was a Pharisee and all of those things. And the Jews stood there and listened to his sermon, and I think he was speaking in the Hebrew tongue, since he was bilingual. He sometimes spoke in the Aramaic or Hebrew. And I believe on this occasion that's what he was doing. And he was telling how that the Jews rejected him in his sermon. And finally he said God told him to go far unto the Gentiles, go among the Gentiles. And you know, the Bible says something that it doesn't say anywhere else, as far as I know in the Bible. And it says they gave him an audience to that word. That is, they listened to him up to the point he mentioned the word Gentile. The Jews didn't like that word. It embittered them. And they began to throw dust in the air and holler and really tried to kill Paul. Sometimes a preacher can say something that infuriates people. Now, if he says something that's false, I guess it should. But sometimes the truth infuriates people. It's not always that he's teaching something false. And in this case, Paul wasn't teaching a false doctrine. He was just showing that God sent him to the Gentiles, but the Jews didn't like it. And, you know, the truth is the truth whether we like it or not. And some folks don't like truth. And so they gave him audience of that word, and they caused such a disturbance that a man by the name of Lysias, who was the chief, I call him the chief of police. I don't know that he went by that. They called him the chief. I called him the chief of police. He rescued Paul. Well, in a sense, he arrested him, but he put him in what we call protective custody. He was afraid the Jews were going to kill him. And he didn't know what he'd done. So he took him up to the jailhouse and locked him up. Now, it was customary back in those days when a man was arrested. Doesn't make any difference what he was arrested for. It didn't make any difference whether he was guilty. It didn't make any difference whether he was innocent. They'd scourge him. Now, scourging was simply a whipping. They had a whip. I've been told it was made out of leather and had little beads of metal in it. And it's very painful. And they'd strip him down to the waist, and they'd give him a good shellacking. They'd give him a good whipping. Just customary. Now, I know in America we don't do that, and I'm glad we don't, because I don't really see any point in that, just giving a man a whipping. But anyway, that's what they did. That was just customary under Roman law. And so, since Paul was arrested for nothing really, they were going to scourge him. But Paul said to the man who was about to do the whipping, he said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman uncondemned? Well, that got his attention. And he dropped the strap down, and he didn't scourge him. And he went in and told Lysias, you better be careful what you do to that man. He said, why? He's a Roman citizen. And says, if you whip a Roman citizen without a trial, that's a death penalty. Oh, he said, I didn't know that. He said, that puts me in a very precarious position. I'm nervous, real nervous now. I thought he was just an ordinary bum off of the street, some Jew that wasn't about anything. But he said, now that's different. He said, And then he learned also something else. He learned that 40 men had bound themselves with an oath that they'd neither eat nor drink till they'd kill Paul. And that word got it to his. He received that word. That really put him in a quandary. He thought, I'm in a tight. Because if I allow those men to get into this jail and kill this man, he's a Roman citizen, Caesar's going to come down on me with a death penalty. So my life's in danger. And he says, the only thing I know to do is to try to get him up to Felix the governor, get him out of Jerusalem and out of this area, and get him up to Caesarea, the military capital, and I'll have him off my hands. But it's going to take some armed guards to protect him. And so he got soldiers, and he got policemen, and he got armed guards. And at night, they slipped him out of town because he's afraid the Jews would kill him. And sure enough, he took him all the way up to Caesarea, the military capital, and turned him over to Felix, the governor. And that's why we want to talk about this man. Felix was the procurator of Judea. And all Felix did is just put him in jail because that was customary too. So they incarcerated Paul. And in a few days, some of the Jews came up to Caesarea to bring charges against Paul, actually to try to get Felix to turn him loose to bring him back to Jerusalem so they could assassinate him, so they could kill him. That's really what they wanted. And they brought a lawyer by the name of Tertullus. They said he was an orator, good speaker. And in Acts 24, the first part of it, he got up, Tertullus did, and Felix was on his throne. He was over there sitting with his wife, Drusilla. And he said, oh, governor, said, it's an honor to come into your presence. We appreciate the good things you've done. And, of course, he played a lot of politics with him. And he said, really, I've come up here about this man you have sitting here in the courtroom named Paul. And he said, I want to bring four charges against him. We have four charges against him. Number one, he's a pestilent fellow. Well, that wasn't much of a charge. Anyone could be called a pest. Number two is he's a mover of sedition among all the Jews. In other words, he's a troublemaker. Number three, he is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. In other words, he's the head man of this. There are others that work with him, but he's the ringleader. He's the agitator. He's just a known troublemaker, Felix. And number four, what he did, he went in and polluted the temple down in Jerusalem. Now, all four of these charges were false, of course. Now, you can go into court and you can have charges made that are true, or you can have charges made that are false. All of these were false charges. But he allowed Paul to get up and speak for himself, and Paul served as his own attorney. He didn't have an attorney. He was his own attorney, and beginning with verse 13, the Apostle Paul defends himself. I want to read what Paul said. I didn't read what the others said because I knew what they said, but I want to read what Paul said in verse 13. Says, neither can they prove the things whereof they accuse me. In other words, Paul says, governor, I want you to know that they're false. All of these charges are false that Tertullus brought against me. Number two, but this I confess unto thee, that the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all the things which are written in the law and the prophets. I could talk a long time on the word heresy. is from heresis of the Greek, and it actually means one who deviates from the paths of orthodoxy. But it's one of those words that it depends on who's doing the talking as to who's a heretic. Someone said, didn't Paul say he was a heretic? Well, he did, computed by the standard of the Jewish economy. He said, I'm a heretic according to them. He didn't say according to God. There's a difference. He said, the Jewish officials think that I have broken off from the main body of Judaism, which I have, and I have become a part of this new religion known as the church. I'm a member of the church. I'm a Christian. And they think I'm a heretic, but I'm not, but they think I am, because they think I have broken off from what they considered orthodoxy. So when you call a man a heretic, it depends on who's doing the talking. If you talk to a Roman Catholic, anyone who breaks off from the Pope and from the Roman Catholic rules and laws is considered by them a heretic. They'd call you a heretic. If you don't believe it, you ask them. You're a heretic if you're not a Roman Catholic. But if you ask a Baptist who a heretic is, if you break off from the Philadelphia Confession of Faith and their creeds and don't stay within the confines of what they believe the Bible teaches, then you're a heretic according to them. So as I said, it depends on who's doing the talking. Who's talking? We're considered heretics by some people, but I'm not interested in that. We come to the final question. Whom does God consider a heretic? Now there's the answer. God considers anyone a heretic who deviates from the teaching of the will of God. And some folks in the Bible are called heretics. And the reason they're called heretics is simply because they've deviated from the paths of right and rectitude. They've deviated from the Bible, not from some man-made rule out here. And there are a lot of man-made rules where they'd call you a heretic. I'm not interested in that. They can call me a heretic all they want to. As long as God doesn't recognize me as a heretic, that's the thing that I'm interested in. And you'd better be interested in that too. Now, you don't want God to think you're a heretic. Other folks may think you are. But you're not a heretic if you're staying within the confines of the Word of God. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? That's why I spent a little time on that word heresy. Because, you know, you have to define it in the light of who's doing the talking. Who's doing the talking? And I'm interested only in one thing. I want God to do the talking. Now, that means, then, that implies something. And I'm going to tell you what it implies. It implies that honest people can understand the Bible, because if they can't understand the Bible, how would you know who was a heretic? You follow that? And let me go over that one more time. That means you have to be capable of understanding the will of God, or there would be no way of classifying a heretic. Someone says, then this idea that the Bible can be interpreted any way you want to doesn't follow what the Bible says about heresy. That's exactly right. Because you couldn't identify one. If you can't know what the truth is, let me give you one illustration. I don't have time to give you one. Let's take baptism. The Bible either teaches you must be baptized for the remission of sins, or it does not. Now, there's no two ways. There's no middle ground. It either says it or it doesn't say it. Now, if the Bible says that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, then anyone who would teach baptism for the remission of sins is a heretic. He's heretical. But if the Bible teaches that one must be baptized to be saved, then anyone who deviates from that is the heretic. Isn't that simple? Now, I could give you 100 illustrations. I just picked out one. Now, I believe when you study Matthew 28:18-19, Mark 16:15-16, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3:27, Matthew 22:16, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. They every one teach that you must be baptized to be saved. Now, I don't have time to go into all those verses right now. I've done that before. Therefore, I maintain that anyone who tells you that you don't have to be baptized is teaching heresy. I could have selected dozens of illustrations, but I try to simplify my lessons. That's my goal, is to simplify it. A woman talked to me on the phone from Conway, Arkansas, yesterday, and she said, "Ward, what I like about your articles, you can put more in a short article than some people can put in a volume." And says, "You get to the point." And she says, "That's why I like to read your writings." But anyway, that's beside the point. You've got to condense something so people can get it in their minds. And that's why I gave the illustration about heresy. Paul says, "I am a heretic according to Jewish standards, Felix, but I am not a heretic according to God's standard. Because I believe all that's taught in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of both of the just and the unjust." He said, "That's the man I am." He said, "I believe the law, and I believe the prophets. I believe everything that's taught in the Word of God. Felix, that's what I believe." And then he goes ahead to tell what happened down there, and I'll not go into that, but I want to get to the latter part of my lesson before I close. After all of this discussion, when Tertullus got up, when Paul got up, old Felix was sitting there listening to all of that. And he said he had more perfect of that way, and he dismissed the Jews. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "You Jews go on home, and when his proper accusers come up, I'll hear you again." Well, that was just a way to get rid of them. He knew that Paul was innocent. He knew that. But he got rid of those Jews who had come up from Jerusalem with their lawyer. And he told him to go on home. He said, but he didn't, he wasn't crude to him. He said, we'll just take this up later. Well, he just stalled it. He knew Paul was innocent. The Bible said he knew, he had more perfect knowledge of that way. He knew more than they thought he did. And the reason he did is he was married to this woman, Drusilla. And I want to talk just a little about Felix before I get to Paul's sermon here. And that'll be my final points here in just a minute. Which was read in your hearing a while ago by Larry. Felix was a young man when he was appointed as governor by the reigning Caesar to be over Judea. I don't know, for some way the Caesar really liked him. And most historians say he's about 19 or 20 years old, very young man. And he told him that he had an opening for a governorship down in among the Jews called Judea. He said, "Would you like to be governor?" And of course, naturally, he jumped at the opportunity. Most people would like to be governor of a state. And he said, "Oh yeah, I'd like that." He said, "Okay." He said, "I'm going to send you down there, and you're going to be governor of Judea." So he went down and took the throne, if you want to call it that, and became governor. But he was a single boy. Hadn't even married. And so he got to visiting around, and he went down to a little old country called Emesia, an insignificant kingdom where a king by the name of Azias was ruling. And he had a wife who was a Jewish, and her name was Drusilla. Now, Drusilla was, according to history, a very beautiful woman. She's attractive. And Felix, as a young man, about 20 years old, he was attracted to her. He liked her looks. Very much, and he didn't forget it. And he went on back home, and he hired I don't know whether you call him a lawyer. He was sort of a go-between. I guess in a sense he was, but he said, "I'd like for you to go down and talk to this woman, Drusilla. I like her looks," and says, "I'd like to marry her. I'd like to have her as my wife." So this fellow went down there, and he talked to Drusilla, and she was older than Felix. She was older woman than he was, man. He's a young man, but she's an older woman. Some older women like younger men. And He wasn't all that much younger, but he was some younger than Drusilla. And this lawyer went down there, and he said, Drusilla, I've got a proposition for you. There's a man governor up here by the name of Felix, and he really likes you. And he'd like for you to leave your husband and come up and marry him, if you would. She said, let me think that over. Well, he said, let me give you some advantages. He has a higher position than your husband does. He's got more money. He's younger. He's good looking. And there'd just be several advantages of you divorcing your husband and marrying him. Drusilla, you have to know who she was. She was in the Herod family. And those Herods, some of them were mean as the devil. You know, Herod the Great was a fellow who killed the little babies. And then he had three sons who also became governors later on of different places. Those Herods were mean people. She's in the Herod family. I'm not sure she might have been the daughter of Herod the Great. But most of them didn't have too many principles. She thought it over and she said, I'll do that. She divorced her husband, went up there, and married Felix. And she was married to him at the time. Paul was incarcerated there. And she probably had told him a great deal about Jesus and the Jewish religion because she was a Jewish. He wasn't. He was a heathen. But she knew more about it, and that's why he had knowledge of that way. Drusilla had whispered in his ear a lot of things about the religion of Christ, even though she wasn't a member of the church. So one day, Felix said, Paul, I'd like for you to come into the audience chamber. I'd like to hear you preached a little. He said, okay. I told you this morning in the class, you can preach anywhere. Paul taught in the school of Tyrannus 2 years. We read that in Acts. You can preach anywhere. And, you know, there here came Felix out dressed in that fine clothes and Drusilla dressed up sitting beside him. And he sent the guard out and says, bring that prisoner Paul in here. He said, he's going to preach to us. Paul was brought in. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, I'm reading now from verse 24. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Great opportunity to preach. Paul could have preached on anything he wanted to. But you know what he preached on? The gospel. He told the man how to be saved. He could have flattered the man. He could have gone into a lot of trouble and told how great Felix was and tried to get out of jail. But that's not what he did. What does the Bible say? Well, let's read it. He reasoned on righteousness, temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Now, I want to close with this subject. We don't have the sermon. We have an outline, and it is a good outline. It's still a good outline to preach on. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the will of God. Righteousness is in the gospel. Read Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where is it revealed? In the gospel. Therefore, what did he preach to him? He preached the gospel. He told him what to do to be saved. He probably told him the facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which he'd have to believe. He probably told him the facts of the gospel, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that he had to do that to be saved, that he'd be inducted into the family of God, Romans 6:3 and 4. He probably told him that he'd have to live the Christian life, and that if he would, when he died, he'd go to heaven. The second thing he preached on was temperance. After he told him how to become a Christian, he says the essence of Christianity is self-control. And isn't that still true? I said in the class this morning that God pulls on you and wants you to do right, and the devil pulls on you to do evil. The Bible said, when I would do good, evil is always present. He said there's a continual war between the flesh and the spirit, and there he is. Why would we deny it? I don't think anybody in this audience would deny that they're tempted to do evil a lot of time. And I don't think they deny that God encourages them to do right through the Word, through the Spirit. And he told him, Felix, what you have to do is because you have these desires and the devil will tempt you, you've got to practice self-control. That's what temperance is. Fortunately, when we fall by the wayside, we can repent, but a lot of people in the church have fallen. Peter fell one time, but he straightened up. I imagine most of you have fallen at one time or the other and had to ask God for forgiveness. And if you told me that you hadn't, I don't know that I'd believe you, because I don't believe we have any perfection in this audience. And then he says, if you don't do that, there's a judgment coming. Now, you see, this is the important part of it. He says, Felix, I'd like to see you become a Christian. I'd like to see you practice the Christian life by practicing self-control and serving God, because then you're going to be ready to meet the Lord in judgment, which we all are going to have to do. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And he said, I want you saved. Now, I know you're gratifying your flesh and you think that you're just living for the hour and that you're having a big time and you're a young man and you think you're going to live forever. But that may not be so. Now, I want to tell you the latter part and then I'm closing my lesson. According to history, Felix was deposed within a year because Festus, did you notice Festus came in and took his place? You know why? He was kicked out of the governorship, and in 2 years he is dead in his 20s. Someone says, but he could have been saved right there. He died in his 20s. He could have been saved, but he didn't do it. That's the problem. He thought he's going to live forever. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I think he understood what to do to be saved. He even trembled, but he didn't obey. That's the lesson for you and for me and for everybody. That procrastination is the thief of time as well as the thief of your soul. Felix just should have obeyed. Someone says, where is he now? He's in the hands of a living God. If you're here and subject, will you not make the mistake of Felix, but will obey? Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?